Hello.
Hey girl.
Hey. All right. So let's get started. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm so glad this worked because I wasn't sure if I was going to connect or not.
No, it worked just perfectly. So let's jump right into it. All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Curves and Cocktails. And I'm so happy you guys are tuning in this week because I have a very special guest. I am a fan girl. Love this girl. And today's episode, we have Beauty by Benji. Yay!
Thank you for having me.
So, if you do not know who she is, can you introduce yourself and tell us, about your journey as being an influencer?
Okay, so my name is Benjamin. Everybody calls me Benji. But I started on YouTube randomly, like in 2012. I want to say, like, the end of 2012. I just randomly decided one day I was gonna record on my laptop. I don't know if you remember when everybody used to record on their
Yes,
laptop,
ma'am.
that's exactly how I started. I busted out my laptop and my little webcam, and I just started recording. And I mean, the rest is history. And then I transitioned from YouTube to Instagram to, I'm trying to get into TikTok right now, but I don't know. I don't know if that's for me, but I'm trying my best. But yeah, I feel like when we started it, like in 2012, it was mostly just to have fun and to share tips. And I was just one of those people that people always had questions for me about different things. And I was like, you know what? It would be easier for me to make videos and I could refer people to it. But then it turned into this whole influencer thing. And I don't even know if I'm still comfortable being called an influencer,
I
but
think so.
yeah, that's what it's turned into.
Right. And you have your own beauty brand and you started your podcast, right? Can you give us a little bit of information about that?
Yeah, so I decided to start a podcast. It's called Profound Shallow Talk. And I wanted to start it because I feel like every outlet that I have on social media is so curated, and it's so, I have to watch what I say. And I just wanted one thing that was completely me, where I could just express myself in the way that I wanted to. I could use whatever language I wanted to. And it's not meant to further my business. It's completely meant just for me to express myself, to connect with people that follow me online, and to just have a good
Yeah, I
time.
totally feel you. I can relate. When I was listening to your podcast yesterday or the day before, I just remember you said, like, you're sitting in your closet, no makeup on, having a glass of wine. And I'm like, this is why I had to get off of YouTube. I had no desire to just always be perfect, makeup on, hair done. No, I just wanted to be able to sit in my room, press play, record, say whatever the hell I wanted to say, and just, speak my mind. It's not about the money, it's just about me being able to just express myself freely and just fuck it. People are gonna listen and they're gonna love it. So I was
Right.
like, you know what? I'm ready. I'm gonna do it. So,
If people listen, they listen. If they
right.
don't, they don't. That is not why I started my podcast. Like I said, I just wanted to have something where I didn't have to put on a face and edit so much. I just wanted to come and
Right.
talk and say whatever I wanted. Whatever came out, came out.
Right. So I'm definitely happy to have you. We've been kind of like low key talking, and I was just like, you know what? Let me slide in her DMs and officially ask her to be a guest because, I'm like obsessed with you, but
I listen to your podcast all the time, and I remember the first one you said, I think it was called Flued Out. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna like this. I'm gonna go ahead and follow it.
I don't know. I just had to just share because, we have those secret stories. It may have happened like a couple of years ago, but it's still like relevant till this day. So I was just like, all right, you know what? Let me get comfortable and then I'm gonna start inviting people just to vibe and get, an opinion. Cause I know sometimes people want to hear like other people's dating experiences. So that's why this episode we're diving deep into dating. And But we're like, how can I say this? We're talking about dating cultures, not Well, we can talk about American Men, right?
Well, I've dated both, okay. So yeah, we can talk about whatever.
Okay,
we want.
So I remember I did an episode about our American men cheap, and you were like, "European men are the worst," and I'm like, "I never dealt with them." So can you give me some tea on European men? What's up with them?
So I have a lot of friends that live in Europe, so like France, mm-hmm. Belgium, Germany, and all of that. And I get the feedback from them, like firsthand. Like they're gonna go out and they call me and they're like, "Can you believe this guy?" Like it's not a thing in Europe to split the to like for the man to pay the bill. It's the thing to split the bill. Like they don't pay bills. Like it's a normal thing for you to go out. And the man doesn't pay for the date. Like, it's completely normal. If he pays for the date, he must not be European. He must be coming from Africa or the U.S. because European men just don't. And then, like, sometimes they'll even play the card of forgetting their wallets. They'll make the woman pay. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. They'll make the woman pay. And I don't know. Everyone that I've known that's dated in Europe has told me the same thing. It is not a thing for men to buy you stuff. It is not a thing for men to take you out to eat. That's not a thing. And if they do, they're probably like huge soccer stars or, you know, they're just Africans that live there or
But why
like
haven't
that.
They put their foot down and say, like, this is not how it works? Like, why are they allowing this to happen?
Because it's the culture there. This is not how it works is for America. This is not how it works here in America. But in Europe, that's the culture. That's how it is. So if you say, oh, that's not how it works, then you're going against what everybody is doing. You know what I mean? So here in America, we used to, like, if somebody takes us out, they're going to plan a date. They're going to pick us up. Well, not anymore.
Okay.
You're going to meet them there.
Meet me there. Like, I'll find my way there.
You're going to meet them there. You know, they might bring you flowers and all of that. So it's not the culture in Europe. I'm guessing once they're in like in a steady relationship or when they're married, maybe it changes. But as far as dating, I know for a fact, I've heard from different girls from different European countries tell me the same thing.
So American women are spoiled, or are we brats? Like, what is it? What are we? Like, I don't know. I like that shocked me. Like, honestly, I couldn't imagine doing that.
I would say that as an African woman, I find American men and European men to be very, very, very stingy. I'm not even going to say cheap. I'm going to say stingy because some of them have the means. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I understand if somebody doesn't have the means, like they're like, okay, let me take you out. Let's go to Chili's because that's what I can afford. Some of them have the means, but they just don't feel like you're deserving. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not deserving of a decent meal, why am I out here with
you? But you know what? It's like, oh, let me just do this so I can just have sex with her. Like, that's the vibe. Like American men.
That's definitely not
I feel you, but a lot of guys, I just feel like American men, my experience dating them, like they lead with sex. Like when I moved to Atlanta, that's when I started dating African men. And it wasn't even something that I was like seeking. It just kind of happened. And I never knew like a lot about the culture. So I'm like doing my own research, like watching YouTube videos, reading books. Like, I'm trying to figure out because, like, a lot of girls are like, oh my gosh, you need to get an African dude. They'll do this, they'll do that. But I'm like, I couldn't go into it feeling like I'm just dating them just to get something out of it. I don't like that feeling. But a lot of girls here in Atlanta, that's their thing. They're like, oh, you need to get an African because they're going to buy you this, they're going to buy you that. So my question to you is, do you feel like American women are taking y'all men?
No, I definitely don't feel like that because I will say it like this, and hopefully this does not offend anyone, but African men are not very likely to marry outside of their race. Okay. out of their culture, not their race, because we're all black, but outside of their culture, right? Outside of their country. Because when we're raised, not only do your parents want you to marry within your country, they want you to marry within your tribe. So already breaking out of your tribe is one thing. And then breaking out of the country, they're like, oh my gosh. So, and a lot of African kids, their parents are very influential in their lives. So a lot of African kids will put their happiness aside to make sure that their parents like their partners, because African parents can be hard to deal with. It just makes life easier for them. So I do see in Houston, it's just as much as Atlanta. Like I see last year when I was on about girl, because you're not and stuff. I saw a lot, like I went back to the same clubs that I used to go when I was in college here. And when I came back, like almost 10 years later, they were overrun with American women. Like there used to never be American women in the African clubs. They were everywhere I looked, there was American women. I don't really feel like American women are stealing African men, because I feel like the high caliber American women aren't going for the African guys. It's the ones that just want like a quick something. You know what I mean? They're not looking for marriage from the African guys. They're just looking for, you know, having a good time, getting something in their bank account. But I don't think they're investing in the actual relationship of the African guy.
That's pretty interesting. Like my boyfriend, we've been together for about a little bit over a year now. And he better propose. We talked about this, so
that's different. You investing into a relationship, you didn't go into it thinking I'm gonna give me a bag,
right? That is true. But like a lot of girls, and I don't even hang out with them anymore, it was just like that's what they were after. And I just don't like it when girls just are after men for money. Like I get it, you want to go out for one night, have a little fun, you know, sit in his section, but if that's what you're seeking, like I cannot be friends with people like that. But like from when I've dated, you know, them, they tell me like African girls are hard to deal with, they're so spoiled, you know, and American girls are chill. So it's like
they be lying.
So they spitting game.
It's not so much spitting game. African women are hard to deal with, like any woman is, right? But the reason why they marry African women is because we're raised to take all the bullshit. We're raised to deal with the bullshit because we see it as normal. Whereas American women are not, like, you got about 3 strikes and you're out. But African women, you got like 12 strikes and then maybe you talk about it.
Girl, go ahead. You preaching, because for me, like, when you said that, I swear that triggered me, because I'm literally like, I'm 1 foot in and I'm 1 foot out. I don't want to deal with this anymore. And it's just like, you know, I'm learning patience, because before I didn't have no patience. I don't know what's up with this dude, but he's made me more patient than ever. Because before, I would have ran out the door 50 miles, like going, just not even opening the door. I'm running through the walls. Like
the right man, the right person in your life, whether that's man or woman, the right person in your life will make you stop and think. They'll make you stop and just be like, you know what? Let me weigh the good with the bad. Because sometimes, you know, when I talk, because I talk relationship on my Instagram a lot, and I post questions that sometimes trigger people. And sometimes I get replies like, oh, like, if he does this, I'm leaving him. And I'm like, why? Like, I understand that, you know, you have to value yourself and you don't have to deal with certain things. But I do feel like people are so quick to leave for littlest thing, like the tiniest thing.
Yeah, because I'm childish. Like, I had to really sit back and realize, like, oh my gosh, I act like a spoiled brat. Like, I'm being, like, it's little stuff. It's not even big stuff at all. You're, like, 100% right. Mm-hmm. And I had to really sit back, like, I'm going to miss out on a good guy because of something so petty and childish. And I remember the other day you posed a question, you said something like, are men in control of the relationship and women are, what did you say?
I said that do women control sex? and do men control relationships and marriage? And how I meant that, because a lot of people didn't understand what I was saying, is that women control sex. So a woman can decide if and when she's going to have sex with a man. That is not the man's decision. When a man and a woman meet, the woman is usually the one that decides when the sex is going to happen, how it's going to happen. The man, on the other hand, decides when the relationship will start. And he decides when the marriage will start. I'm not saying that's with all relationships. I'm just saying that's with a lot of relationships, because we constantly have to wait and ask the man, so what are we doing? What is this? Like, what is this that we're doing here? Has a man ever asked us, like, what is this? What are we doing here? Is this a relationship? What is? They never have to ask us, because they know we're there. They know that's what we want. So they drag their feet. We wait.
You're right.
And then they decide if they're going to take that to a relationship or to a marriage or to continue it on. And I feel like the moment women switch that and take control of the relationship instead of trying to take control of sex, it's going to be a game changer.
So is that something that we need to take control of? Like saying, like, hey, you're my man. You're not talking to any other female. Is that something that we should start doing?
No, I think that women need to learn how to date. Women meet one man and they're just like, this is it. And sometimes he's not even right for them. Sometimes he just feels like a void for a right now, but he's not the right person. When you date, you're supposed to be dating multiple people, and somebody will stand out of the crowd. Somebody will stand out and tell you, this is it. This is the one that I want to be with. But as women, as soon as we meet one, we throw away the rest. Even if the good one was in the bunch, we throw away the rest and we just focus on this one that's giving us a little bit of attention right now. And I think women just spend too much time not dating, not seeing what's out there, not experiencing different things. And sometimes relationships can be hard. You know, we always have to say that men are toxic and men do that. But sometimes we are too. Like, I've had to look at myself and be like, you know, there's certain things that I do that are not right. And nobody wants to feel like that. But, you know, my therapist, you know, she eliminated that for me. And I was like, I mean, these are things that I always knew, but I just figured, you know, it wasn't that bad. But it is. And sometimes when things get hard, instead of us pushing through and figuring out, you know, how to get past it, we're like, you know, on to the next one. And then that's how we just keep going. But I feel like women, I really want women to start dating multiple people. Just like men do. They date multiple people and then they choose the one that really stands out, that really takes them off the market.
No, I totally agree with you. I've always been an advocate of dating multiple men. Like, I feel like in my 20s, like, I had so much fun because I dated so many people. I got flown out. Like, I really had a lot of fun. And I have friends, like, as soon as they just meet one dude, that's it. I'm like, shouldn't you be dating, like, other people to make sure this guy may have, like, this quality, but he may have, like, other qualities that's horrible, and you're just sitting around trying to see if maybe you can change him. He doesn't want to be in a relationship right now, but maybe if I stay with
you, want to build a man. I don't want to build a man.
Okay. And I'm like, I'm not finna sit around. Like, he's gonna know if he wants you, so why am I gonna sit around for 6 months trying to convince him to be in a relationship with me? Why would I try to do that? I'm like, no. I'm gonna,
when you could be out there doing better things.
Like, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to date 5 days a week, different people if I need to, have somebody. It's just like, have fun. Dating is supposed to be such a fun thing, and people just make it so serious. Like, it's just like,
make it so serious, so stressful. They act like every person that they meet is supposed to be the one.
He's not at all.
Like, somebody said, and I loved it, they said, sometimes the man that you meet is not going to be the one, but he's going to help you discover new restaurants.
It is.
I was like, yes.
It'd be new restaurants, new cities.
Maybe you needed a new seafood spot. Here you go.
Exactly. Like, it's just, I don't know if it's because we're afraid. For me, I'm not married. I'm 32. I've never been married before. And, like, at one point, I was just like, damn, like, you know, I don't want to, I thought about it at one point. Like, I shouldn't be dating multiple people because what if I miss my opportunity to get married and, you know, I'm wasting time dating mm-hmm. other people. But it's like, it none of that stuff matters. Like, I feel like once a man knows, you know, you want to be with him and he wants to be with you and y'all make it official, it'll just work out. So it's just like, it's not fun anymore. Stories that I hear, people just take it too seriously. They want to, you know, jump in a relationship next week. I'm like, you barely know the guy. Like,
because they go online and they see these mm-hmm. relationship goals, you know, and they're like, oh, that's what I want. And they start thinking that these people's relationship is the standard. Well, they don't understand that every relationship is tailor-made mm-hmm. to those two people. You make your relationship what it's going to be. And they just go out there and you're like, this is what I want. And they think it's going to come ready-made in a package. And it's not. Like, some of those people you see online, you don't know the background right. story. Some of the people you see online, you don't know how many years they had to work to get to that point.
You're right. It's just, it's bad out here. I don't want to be dating no more.
You know, I met my husband when I was mm-hmm. 23. So I was really, really young when we started dating. But I dated a lot before I met him.
Good.
And I'm so mm-hmm. glad that I did. Because a lot of times when I tell people I dated, when I met my husband when I was 23, they're like, damn, you were so young. And I'm like, yeah, but I really don't feel like I missed out on mm-hmm. anything. Mm-hmm. So we dated and, you know, we were separated last year in 2019. We were separated from mid-2018 all the way until like the end of 2019. So during that time, guess what I did?
Yeah.
I did it again. And it was hard because, you know, I'm going to be 35 in Aww. 6 days. And at the time, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I am 33 years old. I am on my way to be divorced. I was feeling so bad. And then I was like, you know what? Screw right. that. Who cares? Who cares? Like, what if I'm 35 and I'm single? I'm still me. I still mm-hmm. look good.
Period.
And that's really all that matters. I mean, I have a job. I have a car. I'm not homeless. I have my health. I mean, what more could I ask for? So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go do my thing. Whatever happens, happens. And if you really believe that your life, you know, you're on a journey anyway and that things happen for a reason, why are you mad when certain things happen? You should just let it happen and just keep living your life.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like I watched your journey when you were getting separated with your husband on YouTube, right? Mm-hmm. Because you lived in like an apartment and didn't he like help you move? Yeah. It was just like, I don't know. I remember like all of that. And then it's like, I got back together. I was like, okay, turn up. You so, gotta take a break sometimes.
A lot of people were confused by that because they were like, how are you guys separated and he's helping you move and you guys are driving? And I was like, well, just because you separate from somebody doesn't mean you hate mm-hmm. them. See, that's what happens, that people fester in things too long until hate becomes a thing. And that's when they decide to like step back. If you step back before that, it's not hate. And I've known this man for so many years in my life. We've grown together. Like, we met out of college, mm-hmm. right? We've gone through jobs, lost jobs, purchased a house, sold a house. We've been through so much. To just say that I'm just going to up and like curse him out and leave, it's not realistic.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. Do you feel like he's your soulmate or do you feel like you can have multiple soulmates?
I don't know if I believe in soulmates. I feel like people could have multiple soulmates throughout a life. But I think you only get one life partner, like one person that you're supposed to walk through life with. But I think you can have multiple soulmates. You always meet somebody. You haven't you met like people like, why do I connect with you so much? But you know, they're bad for you. Like, you know, I can't, this can't be a thing. Like, we can't be together, but you have like a strong connection to that person. I feel like you get many soulmates throughout your life, but you only get one life partner, one person that's gonna walk your whole life with you.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I feel the same way too. I do feel like you can have multiple soulmates, but you know, I'm just hoping for myself, like I just get married, have some kids, and just get this party started. I'm ready to bust this uterus open I'm ready to like get my ex cracked.
Oh my god! Please enjoy the married life before you bust it open.
I'm already like, I'm gonna be pregnant by the end of the year. I don't know. I just have baby fever, but it's like, do I really have baby fever? I don't know. Like, but no, like, I'm happy for you. I'm definitely happy y'all got back together. You have a beautiful home. You have a doggy, and I'm just like, I just love, like, you know, your videos and everything that you're doing on Instagram and showing like updates about your place. So it's just like, you know, it's real cute, and I really love that. So I have a wild card question. Have you ever had a sugar daddy?
Well, I had a sugar relationship. So before I met my husband, when I was, I want to say maybe like 20 years old or 21, I met somebody. At the time, I was very, very sheltered growing up, like very, very sheltered. Like, I'm going to tell you how sheltered I was in high school. Kids were talking about like getting head. So I went and asked this guy, and I was like, what does that mean? He was like, meet me after school and bring some meat heads. I said, what? So, and I was a senior in high school, and I didn't know what that was.
Okay.
Just to tell you how sheltered.
Real sheltered.
So I, when I was in college, like, it was a struggle. Being the youngest in my family, I was always used to having kind of everything done for me. Everything. I'm talking about my siblings do my laundry, cook for me, like everything. And then when I started being on my own, girl, life was hard. Life was so hard. And I don't think I was quite ready to be on my own, but I was tired of people telling me what to do, so I had to do it. And I ended up meeting somebody who at the time was about 10 years older than me. To me, it didn't seem like that big of a difference, but now in hindsight, it really was. And it happened so fast. Like, we met, we dated for maybe like a month or two, and then he proposed to me, and then we moved together, and he bought a big house, and we lived there, and I feel like I woke up 3 months later, and I was like, oh shit.
Wow.
I don't know if this is what I want. He was a big executive for an airline company. So, girl, it happened so fast. I remember waking up one morning and being like, I don't want this. I don't want this. I don't care how much money. I don't care. And it wasn't just about the money. He was an interesting person also. But I just remember thinking, this is not what I want for my life. This is not it. Like, I don't want this. I want somebody. First of all, I want somebody who's African. Like, I don't even know how I introduced him to my parents. Like, we were engaged, but I would not introduce him to my parents. So I just told him one day, and I was like, I can't. And I just remember I left everything, girl. I just took clothes. I left my car because, you know, he bought it. Yes. Dumbass, girl. It wasn't my name. I don't know why I did that.
Okay, you're stressing me out a little bit, but okay.
Yes, a Range Rover. I left it behind. I didn't want. I think sometimes your body tells you, or your spirit soul tells you to just leave. Just leave. Like, I didn't want him to. I didn't want to owe him anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just felt like he was only one of those people that, if you owed him anything, he would just heart, like, in your life. He would be in your life, like, as if you owed him something. Like, he would want something from me, and I didn't want to give anymore. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm okay. I'm just going to move back in with my brothers, swallow my pride. I'm going to leave this car behind. I'm just take my clothes and get out. And I don't know why I had such an urgency to get out. It's not like he was abusive or anything, but I just had this urgency, like, you got to get out. You have to get out of this relationship. So I just got out, girl. And I guess it's my only experience with, I guess, a sugar daddy situation. But that taught me that sometimes you just have to listen when something isn't right. Sometimes you don't know why it's not right. Like, I don't know. Sometimes you don't want to start, you just have to listen to yourself. If your body tells you, that's get right up and go, girl, leave the Range Rover behind,
that's
and
true,
get out.
That's true. And that's,
there's only one of you. You can,
that
always
is true.
Get in the
and
car.
That's when anything, like, you have to listen to your inner spirit, your inner soul. Like, the shit be guiding you, letting you know when stuff isn't right. So, My sugar daddy experience was definitely not as good as that. Because it was definitely no range involved. But for me, I just remember this guy was like, he just slid in my DMs. And thank God he lived in another state. Because I didn't want to ever have a sugar daddy that I actually had to deal with in person. Because I don't want to give my sugar up to no old man. Like, at all. And he was just like, oh, let me buy you lunch. And I'm like, well, how are you gonna buy me lunch? And then he just sent me like $200 via Cash App. I was like, well, okay. And it was just like, all he wanted was for me to talk to him on the phone, to just keep him company, like via phone, a lot of hours throughout the day. But he would just buy me like clothes from like Pretty Little Thing, nothing like, I didn't get anything like a Louis bag. I just wish I stuck around a little longer, but he just bought me a TV, bought me a bunch of clothes. And then he was like, oh, can we meet?
Oh, Lord.
Ooh, that's when you girl. Bail out. He was like, oh, I'll fly you to North Carolina. I said, who? Fly who? No. No.
You want to get food out?
Not to see him, because number one, he was like 4'11". I'm 5'9".
It would have
never worked. I could not do it. And just one day in the middle of the night, I just went and I just blocked him all on my social medias, and I was just like, "Sir, I can't." So.
Why did you do that, man, like that?
So, and then he cashed at me and he was like, why did you block me?
Wait, he cashed at you just so he could tell you that? Oh, that's dedication. Yes. Right there.
And then I was so afraid because he knew where I worked, because he was sending like flowers and gifts to my job. He knew my apartment. I was just like, please don't let this man ever show up. Please.
See, I want to ask something real quick, okay? I feel like sometimes we need to have conversations, like exit. You know when you have a job and the actual exit interview? I think it's important sometimes, no matter how uncomfortable it feels, I think it's important to tell people why. Because, number one, that's going to tell you a couple of things. That's going to tell you if the person is crazy, because by you telling them the why, they might start going off. And then you can take measures, right? You can
move. Okay.
Just start acting crazy. Or that can give them closure so that, you know, when they see you out in the streets or whatever, they're not feeling some type of way. They're not coming at you sideways. Like, I've never blocked anyone without them knowing why I was blocking them. Now, I'm not going to sit here and talk to you if I don't want to. I can text you why I'm blocking you and then I'll text you after.
Thanks.
So that if I see you out and about and you're like, why'd you block me? What you mean? Right. I texted you why I blocked you.
But you're right about that. Like, I should have, because he was overall a nice guy. Like, he was really nice. Anything, he was giving me gas money, just like all the shit. It was just like, I just didn't have to worry about like little basic things. So you're right. But he was just pressuring me too much. And I just don't like when people pressure me, because if I don't want to see you, I don't want to see you. Like, don't bother me. Like, let's just keep this phone conversation. But
let's just keep it where it's at.
So anyways, we didn't finish the we were talking about everything. We didn't even finish like who was the cheapest.
Oh yeah, because I had a few more things to add about that. I don't know if you have
time. Girl, we good. Let's jump back to the beginning, to the cheapest conversation. And
so I would say overall American, okay, so let's rank it, right? Cheapest to less cheap. Okay. European men are the cheapest. All right, cheapest. And then I would say American men are after that. And maybe Asian men after that.
Not Asians. Well, you know what? I don't really see Asians cashing out like that. They like to save money, like to have that generation after generation money. So maybe.
The ones who spend money, it's a cultural thing. So the biggest spenders are going to be Africans and Arabs, right? Because it's a cultural thing. If you want an African man to bust out his wallet most, I'm not going to say all you have to tell him is like, ooh, oh, you don't got it?
Girl, don't let me use those words. He might be like...
If you say you don't got it, they see red. Like, are you saying that I don't have money? Is that what you're saying to me? That I don't have money?
Okay.
And the same thing with Arabs. Like, they don't like being told, like, that they don't have it or that they can't do it. If they ain't got it. They're going to make it happen. But I feel like the newer generation is learning, but I feel like it's overall an African thing. But I feel like in the U.S., most people are exposed to more Nigerians, right? You're not experiencing a lot of other countries, especially in Atlanta. I would say it's mostly Nigerians.
Girl. That I see there. On every block. It's a mix.
Whereas I always encourage women, especially American women, I mean, it's great to, I love it when I see American women date African men, right? Or African women date American men, which that's not as seen as much as the other way around. An African man is dating outside of a race is usually a white man. I'm just going to say it like that. But I want American women to explore other countries. There are other countries than Nigeria, right? So, for example, you have Ivory Coast, right? Ivory Coast men are swaggy. Like, they will talk you out of your pants without ever spending a dollar, right? They're swaggy. They just got swag. Now, Congolese men, which is my husband, they're sweet. Like, they are extremely sweet. They will give you the shirt off their back. They're considerate. They're not game players. So, I just want American women to, you know, I know Nigerian men out there, but there's other African men.
But where can they meet them? Because
out and about, girl. You know, sometimes other African men be lying and say they're Nigerian because they think that American women only want Nigerians.
Well, that's true. Like, out here, girl, it's just so many. I don't even know. Like, it's just like, I love it. I can't even front. Like, I just had such a good, positive experience. Like, they've all been, like, friends. Just, like, okay, I'm just talking about, like, partying aspect. Like, partying-wise. Like, you go to an American spot.
Yes.
Girl, they looking around like they just ready to shoot somebody. And it's just, like, nobody's dancing. Nobody's, like, having conversations. Then you go to, you know, African spot, and everybody is talking, laughing, dancing, eating. Girl, let me not even get on the food.
They love to eat. Girl, suya, you can't look good without suya, girl.
I'm obsessed with it, but it's just such a different vibe. That's why I just completely just stopped going to American events. Like, I cannot deal with American men. They're just so uptight. American men cannot enjoy themselves because they're always so worried about what's going to happen. And it's just like African men, they're just so laid, well, the ones that I've met, they're just so laid back, not a care in the world. They spend their money because they know they're gonna get it right back. Now, when I was dealing with them, I was dealing with, like, a lot of scammers. Like, it was not a hidden thing in Atlanta. Like, a lot of them lead with money. They're buying, like, 5, 6, 7, 10 bottles of Ace of Spades. You know, they're just blowing money every single night. Yeah. Now, I do have a problem with that. Because it's like, why aren't y'all using this money for something else? Or in traveling, at least. Like, why are you in the club? Mm-hmm.
We're investing it. Right. You know this ain't gonna last. This scamming gonna last.
That's my only problem. Like, I just do not like it when people are just wasteful. And when you can just have, like, a 5-bedroom house, but yet you just have a 1-bedroom apartment, but yet you're buying, like, 10 bottles.
You're buying $10,000.
Like, explain that to me. Like, I don't, and it's not, like, younger guys. These are, like, older men doing this. But they have, like, a nice-ass car, 2020, 2021 Benz. But it's just, like, you're spending all this money. You're not going anywhere. That's the only shit that just completely annoys me. Like,
so I've never actually dated an African scammer because I've seen them about. But all the ones that I've dated still spend money, but it's legit. You know what I mean? These are people with like big jobs. You know what I mean? So what I will say about some of those scammers, though, is that they're scamming, but they know that they can't stay in the U.S. in the long run. So they're scamming. Whatever money you've seen them blowing, they have two times as that. They're sending that money back home. They're investing in businesses. They're opening businesses. They're building houses. And then as soon as the blood gets hot, guess what?
They are out.
They getting the hell out.
Okay, good. Because that was just like, even though it was like, it's a fun thing. Like, I'll walk in a club and like somebody grab my arm, like, come sit in our section. You want food, you want this, you want that. And I'm just like, okay, let me catch my breath. Because at one point, I was going out like all the time. I remember like one time you hit me up. You was like, dang, where you at in Atlanta? I'm just like, I stay with them. Like, that's all I was doing at one point. But you are right. Because like my boyfriend, he has a farm back home. He sends money. He has like property. So it's like, I know that his money is going to a good place, but I can't date nobody who's spending $10,000 in a club. Like it would never work.
I can't date nobody. Even if you have $1 million in the bank, I cannot respect you if you're blowing $10,000 in the club every single weekend. Now, I don't mind us going out once every 6 months, and let's blow $15,000, okay? Because once every 6 months, I bet you can't handle this every weekend. Because then that would mean that you don't think. Like, you have to be a little dumb to be doing that. Like, you have to be. And I don't want to be associated with anybody that's dumb.
I feel you. But yeah, one of my old friends, like, she was dating one, and he was, like, opening up accounts under her name and just... And okay, literally giving her pennies. He would probably get like $35,000 and give her like $200,000. It just...
But if it's in her name, why can't she just take it?
She was loyal to him. And to this day, I don't know why.
I don't know that kind of loyalty. I wasn't born with that kind of loyalty
at all. But... Now, let's talk about, like, the food real quick. This is just random, but my boyfriend had cooked some stew for me.
Did you do the food challenge?
I had fufu before, but I would never, like, sit and record it and do all of that. Like, but when I say it was so spicy.
Yeah, it is. Girl, we cook with habaneros or scotch bonnets, whatever. We cook with serious peppers.
I said, well, how many peppers did you put in it, baby?
Like six.
Girl, he said 8 to 10. I don't remember. Do you not know I had a stomach ache the entire night?
I'm surprised you weren't even able to
my
eat
mom,
it.
She was like, now, granted, I love the food, but, you know, I'm a very picky eater, so I pick and choose what I want to eat. But I was talking to my mom one day, and she was like, do you eat his food or do you cook for him? And I'm like, Mom, like, he just eats such spicy foods. Like, I could make spicy foods like that. She was just like, the next time he cook, make sure you eat his food. And I'm just like, all right. I went over his house. He was like, oh, I'm going to make some stew. It was like goat and fish. It was like random stuff in there. So I was like, okay, just give me a little bit. One bite. It was just, I felt the steam in my ears.
I'm about to get blazing ass, girl.
And I ate it all. I ate every piece. I ate every spice. I mean, oh, girl, I don't know. I don't know. How am I going to do this in the long run? How?
See, I told you, I don't know if I told you, if you know this, but I'm coming out with a cookbook, right? And I've lived in the U.S. for so long, but my base of cooking that I learned from my mother is African, right? So my book is for people who are dating or who are African and they want to learn how to make, because African food is usually about that spice base, right? It's like that base you put in your food. Like the stews and things like that. It's for that, you know. And then there's going to be options of like, literally, I have like this pepper mix, right, that I make. And I put it in the fridge. And whenever my family visits, because my family eats really spicy, but we're trying not to eat that spicy no more because I don't think my stomach can handle it anymore. I leave it in the fridge and it's so good. Whenever you cook anything, you just pop some of that in there and you swirl it around. And it's like cooked with spice, but you didn't.
Now, I'm excited about this cookbook, like, because I'm just thinking, like,
I've been working on it for a while.
Because I'm thinking, like, long term, if we have kids together, I cannot have my baby eating that spicy ass food. My baby gonna be like,
they will, though. We grew up eating that stuff.
It stresses me out. That's the only thing.
Babies eat that stuff. If you eat it when in the stomach, they'll come out loving it. But I will say this. Something about you that I really, truly have enjoyed seeing is how much you've embraced the African culture. You love the food. You like the music. Like, you've truly embraced the music, the food. As an African girl who grew up in America at a time when being African wasn't cool, it makes me so happy to see that. I mean, I came here really, really young. And I can tell you right now, life for me in high school was horrible. I mean, it was horrible. Even then, even though I came here young, like I came here elementary school, it still was really, really bad. Like, it was not a cool thing to be African. I remember having to, like, hide things about me, like, the food that we would eat. I would never talk about it. And, you know, my parents would buy me all these beautiful clothes from back home. I would never wear it because I didn't want to get picked on. And it's funny because some of those same people who picked on me and just treated me horrible, I see them on Facebook now wearing dashikis. And I just be like, what? I just wanted to go off sometimes. Like, wait, weren't you the same one who was calling me names, who said that I smell bad, who's like, just call me everything in the book. You're now thinking Africa is cool. Like, you made my life a living hell in high school. So I just wanted to tell you that it's so refreshing to see you, like, embracing the culture. And I think another reason why I think a lot of Africans are taking such offense to the Fufu Challenge is that we've been through that in high school, you know what I mean? Where people didn't like, they didn't like our culture. They didn't like, so we were very sensitive about that. To see something that's so, I mean, fufu is ate throughout Africa. Like, it's a staple. That's just going to China and saying rice is shit. That's the same thing. Like, every country in Africa has a version of it. So to say that, you know, I mean, you don't have to like everything, but the way
it people were throwing
in the trash, and they were disrespectful. And the fact that most of the disrespect was coming from our African American brothers and sisters hurt, because a lot of the white people who tried it were decent enough to, like, either not say anything or just be like, oh, it was okay. But, you know, black people were acting out. I mean, they were saying how nasty it was, and I have big influences that I followed that did it, and they were just, their reaction was just like,
I had to unfollow them. How old are you? You know what I mean? Like, I do not play disrespect.
I had to unfollow. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I had to unfollow her quickly. I was like, are you serious? This is not the first time you've done some dumb stuff, and you're still doing it. You're still doing it. And I was like, and you already saw the heat that was coming from it. It's not like you didn't know. It's not like you didn't know that people were getting upset over it. You did it anyway. But then when you got called out on that, you said, oh,
right, you know better.
You knew you were going to offend you when you did that video.
Right. And I hit the unfollow button because I can't support stuff like that. For me, growing up, I was picked on because I was Haitian. People were like, oh, Haitian people stink. They eat cat. They do this. They do that. So it's like, I relate to y'all in that way. Like, it was just like people always, it was just African-Americans picking on everybody. And it was just, I was afraid to wear certain things. you know, I didn't want to bring certain foods to school because it was just like, oh, it stink. What are you eating? That looks nasty. That look, and it's just like,
yes,
when I can't. Right.
It stinks. What are you eating? Why exactly. are you eating that? Why does it smell like that? Like,
and I'm like, you grew up eating chicken nuggets. Like, my mom.
It's exactly, even real
my
meat.
Mom cooked.
At least this goat's meat is real, girl.
Right. So it was like when I came out here. Now, granted, I didn't know much about the culture. It was just like, I don't know. I grew up in the hood. It was just, I just saw, like, I don't know. But it's like when I came out here, I wanted to just be more culturally aware of what was going on around me, made sure I tried different foods and, you know, just did different things. And it was just like when I was introduced, I just been obsessed. Like, I wanted to learn everything. And it was just like, it just makes me happy. And then when I met my boyfriend and, you know, we have like the same values and everything, it was just, I love the mix. I love, you know, I just love the culture shit. Like, I can't front. And being a Haitian woman, yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed seeing people, like, just enjoying the music, just enjoying the food. And again, you don't have to like everything that you try. Like, mm-hmm. there are certain foods I don't like, but you're not going to catch me making a video about how nasty I think it is. Like, it's not right. And I'm pretty sure if a white girl sat on TikTok and made a video about how nasty greens are, colored greens are, it would have been a thing.
Yes.
It would have been a thing. It would have been a huge issue. It wouldn't have been a thing. And it's just not right that whenever Africans voice their opinions, it's not validated. Why are you upset? Why does she have to like that? And I was like, it's not about her liking it. But I'm sure she doesn't like everything, but she's not making videos about it. She's not making videos about how disgusting it is, how nasty it is, how she don't like the taste or whatever. It's a trend. She wanted to do it because she knew it would give her attention and it would give her followers. And she knows she has African followers. She knows that. But we didn't matter enough for her to not do it.
I agree with you. So, I think this episode was so fun. I had so many laughs. I learned so much, and I'm happy you came on my I'm about to say my episode. Well, yeah, my episode today. So
this is really fun. We definitely have to do another
one. I'm so open to it. Let me know. Can you let everyone know, like, your Instagram, YouTube, like all the things, ways for people to get connected with you?
Yes, so my Instagram and YouTube are Beauty by Benji, and Benji is B-E-N-J-I. So I'm Beauty by Benji across YouTube and Instagram. And then on my Beauty by Benji page on Instagram, I also link my beauty brand, which is Benjamin Beauty, and then also my lifestyle Instagram, which is the Benji Lifestyle, where I share like cooking videos and decorating and cocktails, because I do a little bit of everything. I don't even know if there's something I'm really good at, because I feel like I'm good at a little bit of too much. So I try to compartmentalize them and put them in different Instagrams so I don't overwhelm
Yeah,
them.
You're doing a good job. I follow everything, you know. So I'm going to have all her information linked below, as well as her username in the title. I don't know what I'm going to call this episode, because we talked about a lot of different things.
A lot. We went on a whole tangent. You sent me the script, and I don't think we ever sent me that script.
But that's what I love, you know, just vibing and connecting. And it was just a true connection. So I really appreciate that. Whenever you come to Atlanta, let me know.
Girl, I will be there in April.
Turn up.
March. Okay. March, girl. Next month.
I'm yes. I would love to have dinner with you, vibe with you. So, you know, I'm very excited about that, and I'm thankful for everyone who took the time out to listen, and hopefully we can collab on her podcast one day, and
yay,
so thank you guys, and I will see you in my next episode. All right, bye.